so much, choir. Thank you for being here today, and we're excited on this Resurrection Easter Sunday that you've chose to worship with us. I greeted so many guests, and we want to welcome you. We hope you received a warm welcome. I want to read one verse of Scripture this morning, Matthew 28, verse number 6. The Bible says this, "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." Amen. The empty tomb assuredly and eternally affects today and all of my tomorrows. And for those of us that know Christ, it was the day literally that changed the world. We should all every day walk in newness of life because Christ lives in us. I want to encourage you and challenge you in just a moment as we sing these hymns, as we enter into this service, would you enter in with your whole heart, sing joyfully and rejoice in what God has done. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, God, I thank you for our guest. God, I thank you for our friends. And God, this morning on this special Resurrection Sunday, would our heart be refreshed? Lord, would we be helped? God, would we find our place in the message? Thank you for your gift of salvation. Help us in this service to please you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I challenge you to stand to your feet, please, and take your hymnal. Let's do our very best. Hymn 139, as Brother Mike comes along. Let's do our very best to sing "At Calvary."
Yes, I sin in vanity and pride.
Oh,
take your hymnal, please, and stand one more time. Hymn 177, while the choir makes their way down. Are you washed in the blood? Let's do our very best here this morning.
Here we go. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white? Are you washed in the blood? Verse 2, are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white? Who are you washed? On verse 4 now, lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood?
So much. The cross, it wasn't the final say. It wasn't the final say. And you and I have great hope. And you wonder, why did people get so excited singing that? Because He lives. Because you and I live also. And we have eternal life. It's not a hope-so type thing. We're assured of it. And I'm so happy to see you here and looking out across this room. So many folks we've been praying for. And people say, are you nervous today, Pastor? I don't think I'm very nervous. The only thing I'm nervous about is my daughter is in children's church and her object lesson involved a box full of crickets. And I am praying those crickets stay in that box during children's church and the remainder of the day. At this time, Leanne's going to come along and share in song, and I hope you listen attentively. Let the Lord use this music to stir our hearts.
We got three women back here. That's a dangerous thing. Are you getting it? Something's messed up.
It's on the phone, so.
One's shaking their head yes, and the other's shaking their head no. They're trying to decide where they're going to eat after church, I think. All right, now they're ready.
I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there cross, you paid the debt I owed. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. Now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood.
Blessing. What a blessing. It's a reference to Exodus, the Passover lamb there. And as they put the blood on the doorpost, the death angel passed by. But when you come to the New Testament, there was never another Passover after Christ went to the cross for you and I, and he came out of the grave victorious. Galatians 2 and verse 20, the Bible says this: I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What a Savior. If you'll stand one more time, please, and take a hymnal, 188, He Lives. Let's do our very best here as Brother Mike comes along.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever we may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives.
That He lives within your heart. I hope you got a bulletin on the way in. We ran out of bulletins and I want to try to expedite our time together. But we are praying so much for the work here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. And you'll see in the bulletin in the month of April, we have several outreach days. At the end of the month of April, we have a friend day and a revival service. And some friends of ours, one from Tennessee and one from South Carolina, are coming to preach at those meetings. And we're so thrilled that they are able to come. I want to say thank you. Last Sunday night, we had a song service or a hymn singing. We sang about 7 or 8 hymns, and man, our hearts were so encouraged. We'll have to do that again. I want to say thank you for all those that came and participated, and Miss Kim playing. We had such a great time. Looking forward to many, many wonderful days ahead, and I hope you came today just asking God to speak to your heart, that this time together as we study the scriptures, we try to here at Tabernacle Baptist Church systematically study the scriptures together. So we're going to study the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to study that Jesus, a relationship, is better than religion. We study that on Sunday nights. And we began a tremendous Bible study on our Wednesday night program in the book of Esther. And God has so helped us these last 2 Wednesday nights. I'd invite you to be with us 7 o'clock here in our Bible study. And we're excited about all that God is doing here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. If the men will come forward, we'll make ready for our tithes and offerings here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. I always say we give to the Lord, we give through the church, and we give for the furtherance of the gospel. And while the men are working their way down, Brother Doug, if you'll finalize a few things and pray for our offering, please, sir.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for all who are here this morning. Many visitors. visiting here, as I'm talking here on the back of the pew there, if you're, it's your very first time visiting with us, we'd like to have a record of that. If you'll just get that visitor's card, jot your name down there, we'd like to have a record of that. Not too many announcements, so move, like I said, move the service right along. But if you work in our Sunday school department, you're a teacher or a helper, next Saturday there is going to be a training, a Sunday school teacher's training. We'll meet here, I believe, at 8 a.m. I'll be on the road up to Bristol by about 8:15, and going to have just some really good training here for our Sunday schools or in our children's church. As a sidebar to that, if you do teach in our children's church program and you have not gotten your packet for our next quarter here, they are still a couple here on the front row. Just pick those up, and then we'll be able to have you, those materials to you, and the Lord be working in those areas as well. Mass, Brother Shane Farrell, if we'll ask a blessing on the offering this morning.
Father, Lord, thank you for today. God, our heart service full this morning. Thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for getting up on the third day.
Yes. Amen.
And I pray for the service this morning. I pray that someone here that does not know you, I pray that today will be the day.
Yes.
I pray for this offering, and it will just go forward.
Amen.
So many hurting hearts, and people have a lot of problems. But you know what? Burdens are lifted at Calvary. We're going to sing that chorus. We don't have any words for it, but burdens are lifted at Calvary. Sing that two more times and follow me, okay? Let's sing that song. Honey, you got me here? Burdens. I'm so full of it. Folks, I'm so... The Lord is blessing me so much this morning, and I can't hardly contain. Here we go. Burdens are lifted at Calvary again. Calvary again. Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Let's do it again now. Here we go. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. And he is.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed the music this morning. John chapter number 20 this morning in the New Testament. We're going to look at John's record of the resurrection and the empty tomb this morning from John chapter number 20. And the phrase that I want to key on is Jesus asked Mary this question, "Why weepest thou?" And then Jesus, I believe it's in verse 15, it asks, "Whom do you seek?" It wasn't something Mary was thinking. She was looking for a corpse or a dead body. And Jesus reminded her it was him. He was alive. And what a savior. What a savior. Patty, you come right ahead. Patty, I'll share in song. And then we'll jump into the message there in John chapter number 20.
There is a blood that cost a life, that paid my way, death its price. When he flowed down from the cross, my sins were gone, my sins forgot. There is a grave that tried to hide this precious blood that gave me life. But in 3 days, he breathed again and rose to stand in my defense. So I come to tell you he's alive, to tell you that he dries every tear that falls. So I come to tell you that he saves, to shout and to proclaim that he's coming back. Sights the blind, that heals the sick, the lonely finds. It has the power to free the bound as chains they fall upon the ground. So pour it out to tell you. It's a grave that tried to hide this precious blood that gave me life. But in 3 days, he breathed again, and he rose to stand in my defense. So I come to tell you he's alive, to tell
much. Thank you so much. Thank you, sweetheart. John chapter number 20. If you're visiting, that is my wife. I don't call all the singers sweetheart here. If you're visiting with us today, I just want to clarify that. We're excited that you're here. I hope you fill out a visitor's card. I hope you have a wonderful day with your family. And I hope you don't lose your temper taking pictures with your children in a little while. I remember those days and trying to take those Easter pictures. John chapter number 20, I want to pray, and we're going to look at this record John gives us of Mary Magdalene's empty tomb experience. Let's pray. Lord, help us in these few moments. God, thank you for these you've brought our way. And God, we pray if there's one that doesn't understand salvation and the need to have that blood applied to their account, God, would today be the day of their salvation? And then those that know the Lord, Father, would you give us a renewed heart for you? We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. When you come to John chapter number 20, Jesus has been crucified. He was taken. His disciples, Judas, had betrayed him. They come by night and take Jesus, and he goes from Pilate to Herod and back to Pilate, and they release Barabbas instead of Jesus, and they put Jesus on the cross. Jesus there with two other criminals. Jesus there, I read this week, they said he died for us. No, he really died as us. It was my sin. It was your sin there at Calvary's cross. They take Jesus down off the body. Joseph of Arimathea takes Jesus to a borrowed tomb, and they put Jesus inside the tomb. In Luke chapter number 23, you'll see that Mary Magdalene was there watching our Savior on the cross. Mary Magdalene was there watching him be tortured for my sin. Mary Magdalene was there when they take his body down off the cross. And Mary Magdalene was there when they lay Jesus in the tomb. And Mary Magdalene was there when Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea wrap Jesus' body in the grave clothes and anoint him with spices and ointment. She saw with her own eyes Jesus go in the tomb. Here it is now. Early, the first day of the week. And who is back to anoint his body again? It's Mary Magdalene. Can you see the love? Can you see the care? Can you see the compassion that Mary Magdalene had for Jesus? The Bible actually, Mary of Magdala, it's a suburb or a city outside Capernaum. Mary meets Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, and it's Mary who was oppressed with spirits. It's Mary who had infirmities. It's Mary whom Jesus had cast 7 devils out of. And this same Mary is now a devoted follower of Christ. This same Mary now has watched her Savior die on the cross. This same Mary has now watched Jesus get placed into the tomb. We begin our reading in verse 20, chapter 20 of John, verse number 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark under the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. She's the first one there. Bible scholars believe this is sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. She runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and I know not where they have laid him. Her first thought, her first instinct was that the grave had been robbed, that they had taken him away. Verse 3, Peter therefore went forth. So Mary's already been to the tomb. Mary came back and got Peter and John. And now they're back to the tomb. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple came to the sepulcher. And they ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter. If you were there, he would have outrun you too. And came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Verse 6, then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulcher. In your mind, you just see how impetuous Simon is. I mean, he's like a bull in the china shop. He burst into this empty tomb. He went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Went in also that the other disciple which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. Here John, he goes into the sepulcher, and in your mind, can you see him? There's a shelf there, and the grave clothes are there undisturbed, and the napkin is folded up there, and Peter's looking around, kind of like looking for clues, investigating, and John came in that empty tomb, and John saw the grave clothes, and John believed. Who was with Jesus when Jesus spoke and got Jairus' daughter up out of that dead state? It was John. Who is with Jesus just a few days before this when they go to see Martha and Mary and their dead brother Lazarus? Remember, Lazarus was this, it was in his grave clothes when he came out of the tomb, and Jesus had to tell them, loose him. Who was there? It was John. It was John. And John goes in and he sees the evidence, and he believes that Jesus is alive. Yet in the same scene, Mary's still tore up. In the same scene, Mary's still heartbroken. In the same scene, Mary is still filled with grief. Have you ever been there while you're grieving? Another is not. I think Mary looked at John. I think Mary looked at Peter, and here she is, broken for her Savior. Here she is, frustrated about the circumstances. Here she is, disappointed. Here she is, discouraged. Verse 9, for as yet they knew not the sepulcher, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. That's like men. They're not going to stick around, not going to discuss things. They're not going to hypothesize about what happened. They just go on back to the house. Look at verse 11. But Mary stood without the sepulcher, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked in to the sepulcher. Notice between verses 2 and verses 11, her emotions haven't changed. Between verses 2 and verses 11, she's still heartbroken. Between verses 2 and verses 11, she is still weeping. Between verses 2 and verses 11, she is still so broken. She looks into the sepulcher, and she seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet. I love this, where the body of Jesus, past tense, had lain. The other thing, and this is just a fun fact, we just finished studying the book of Exodus here in our church, and they say this is a picture of the mercy seat. There's two angels here on either side, and that he made a way for you and I. Here the angels are, here Mary is. I find it somewhat comical that she carries on a conversation with angels and doesn't even check up. She's talking to angels. And so here they are, that the angels are white, sitting there, one at the head, one at the feet. Verse 13, and they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Now, I feel that they're angels and they can get away with saying those things, but if you're a husband, have you ever told your wife to calm down and she calmed down? You know what I'm saying? Woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto them, because, and I circled the word they. She still in her mind feels like grave robbers have come. She still in her mind feels like they've carried his body away. They have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Where is he? Why did they do this? I just want the body of Jesus. I'm just here to anoint him. I'm just here to give him a proper burial. And in her mind, she feels like they have stolen him away and placed him in a shallow grave somewhere. This is her thought. They said unto her, why weepest thou? They've taken him away. Verse 14. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. So overcome with grief, so filled with heartache, her eyes so filled with tears, here she is face to face with Jesus Christ and doesn't realize it. And Jesus saith unto her, verse 15, John 20, why weepest thou? Same question the angels ask her, and Jesus adds this, whom seekest thou? She supposed him to be the gardener, saith unto him, can you feel the emotion in her voice? Sir, if thou hast borne him thence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Logically, how is she going to move a body and move all the spices and the ointments that she brought to anoint him? The Jewish people did not embalm. They kind of packed them in with all those spices and ointments to mask the smell. And that's really why she's here on this first Easter morning. Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said, sir, if thou hast borne him away, hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. Jesus called her by her name. The gardener would not have known her name. Jesus calls her by her name. He knew Mary, and she turned herself and said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, Master. And Jesus said to her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that she had spoken, he had spoken these things unto her. I want to preach with the time I have left this thought, why weepest thou? Or really the thought is this, Mary's empty tomb experience. For the sake of time, I'll give you a brief outline by introduction because I always don't do a real good job of getting to my outline. Number one, you see the divine. Verses 1 through 10, verse 1, you see the Savior. Verse 2, you see the sorrow. Verses 3 through 8, you see the seeking. Verses 9 and 10, you see the scriptures. It says they know not. They didn't even know the scriptures. You see the divine. Then you see the dejected. You see Mary in verse 11 crying. You see them in verses 12 through 13. You see concern. When you get to verses 14 through 18, you see Christ, the divine, the dejected. And then at the end of the text, you get the disciples. You get the disciples. Calvary was not the end of the story. And the tomb was only a punctuation mark in the story that truly began before the foundation of the world. I want to try to answer these four questions here in the moments we have. Question number one is this, how does Mary's empty tomb experience relate to us? How is this going to help me, preacher? Number two, how does this experience Mary had in John 20, how does it bring me hope? Question number three is this, what does his resurrection mean to me? And question number four is this, what does Jesus do in this passion, in this passage for Mary? The overarching thought that I see on the text is this, is you see how important Jesus was to Mary. You see that Jesus was the most important thing in her life. Here it is on the first Easter morning. Mary had been present to watch the horrific crucifixion. She had been present to watch them lay in the tomb. She had been present to watch them roll the stone there away. You see that in Luke 24, verse 10 and 11. Here Mary is. Jesus has changed her life. Luke 8, she had devils and spirits. She had an infirmity. And you see the impact Jesus made on her life. You and I that have met him, he should have made an impact on our life as well. We too should be a devoted follower of him. It's Mary who first meets the risen Christ. It's Mary whom Jesus had done so much work in her own heart. It's Mary who expresses her love and adoration for him. It's Mary who was not confused about his resting place. The first thing you see is the setting. It's early now. The Sabbath was on Saturday. It's in the wee hours of the morning. Remember when Lazarus died, they stay around the tomb 3 days to weep for their loved ones that had gone on. Here she is. She goes to the tomb on the Sabbath. She has prepared some spices and ointments. She went to the tomb to prepare to finish anointing his body. As she approaches the tomb, she discovers the stone has been rolled away and she runs back to get Peter and John. The setting, the scene. We're 3 days now removed from the crucifixion of Christ. Pilate has went home and he's told his wife about the day. Life has resumed for many folks. Judas' body lay in a shallow grave. Peter was no doubt feeling broken for his rejecting Christ. Many other disciples are in hiding. Many other followers of Christ are fearful. But you see Mary still thinking of Jesus. You see Mary in her devotion. You see Mary in her love for him. No doubt in her mind it goes back to his compassion. No doubt in her mind, it goes back to time spent with him. Is that not how we are when a loved one goes on to heaven before us? Do we not reminisce the good times? Do we not reminisce the fellowship? Do we not reminisce all the conversations we've had? I think that's what's happening here with Mary. She's thinking of Jesus. She's thinking of his investment in her life. And here on this first Easter, she's the first to arrive at the tomb. Verse number one, as she approaches the tomb, the stone has been rolled away. The scene and the setting, no sign of struggle. The grave clothes are there as they had left. And the resurrection was not her first thought. The disciples, no doubt, are fearful because they feel as if Jesus had been crucified and Jesus was taken down off that cross and Jesus was put in the tomb and they stole Jesus' body, their logical thought process would be that they were next. The scene, the setting, her sorrow. Mary outside the tomb weeping, looking in, and she sees these two angels. Verse 13, why weepest thou? All she wanted to do was to minister for Jesus. Still grieving, still broken, still hurting. You see Mary's discovery
Then you see what Mary decided. She discovered that the stone was rolled away. She decided to go and tell the others. Verse 11, I'll move quickly. We see verse 11, we see Mary's distress. It literally means to wail, or she's overcome physically with emotion. You see in the first part of the text, you see the wondering disciples. In the second part of the text, it's just Jesus and Mary. You see the weeping disciple. You see Mary's distress. It would do our hearts good in the midst of brokenness to want Jesus. Here she is broken. Her distress, her discovery, number two, her discovery. These angels there in the tomb, verses 11 and 12. Where is everyone else? Why is it only Mary there? The angels knew that there should be great joy, and so the angels asked Mary, why are you weeping? Verse 14 of the text in John 20, if she only knew who was behind her. Notice the angels didn't bother to give any explanation. The angels did not dry her tears or calm her mind. She was determined to see Jesus, the distress of Mary, the discovery of Mary, the disinterest of Mary. Verse 14, she sees Jesus and assumes he's the gardener. She's still overcome with grief, and all she wanted was Jesus. Can you imagine her eyes filled with tears, her so much emotion over these last 72 hours? And she said, sir, if you could just tell me where they've laid him. Sir, if you could just point me in the right direction. Sir, I'm just here to anoint his body. I love him. Mary's distress, Mary's discovery, Mary's disinterest, Mary's despair. Mary's despair. If you know where he is, will you take me to him? If you've seen where they took him, can you take me to that place? How is she going to carry his body and the spices she brought? Mary's despair. The thing I love in the text is you notice how sensitive Jesus was to Mary's broken heart. Room this morning, I am sure there are people here with broken hearts. And I can assure you that Jesus is sympathetic to your pain. Jesus reminds her that she was not looking for something, but for someone, verse 15, whom I circled in my Bible, John 20, 15, whom do you seek? Verse 16, Jesus calls her by her name. Verse 17, Jesus tells her to go and tell the others. His appearing to Mary symbolized his special love and faithfulness to all believers, no matter how seemingly insignificant they might be. If we were writing the story, we would have him appear to John. If we were writing the story, we would have him appear to Peter, the spokesman of the group. You see, Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. The next point here, number five, is Mary's delight. Mary's delight. We move from Mary's discovery to Mary's disinterest to Mary's despair to Mary's delight. Does he want us to go and tell others as well? Jesus tells Mary to go back and tell the others the Master is not dead but alive. Mary's tears were moved to joy. The disciples' fear went to courage. Thomas' faith, if you were to read the remainder of the text, Thomas's doubt moved to assurance. Verse 18 of the text, Mary's declaration. She came to the disciples and told them that she had seen the risen Christ. Mary of Magdala, she was the first to see the risen Christ. She was the first to hear his voice. She was the first to touch him. She was the first to be commissioned by him. She was the first to tell these glad tidings to others. We come back to the question I asked at the beginning of the sermon, and the title was this: Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Jesus spoke peace to her broken heart. And her heart was filled with joy, for Jesus was alive. I'm going to answer the four questions we stated at the beginning of the message. Question number one was this: how does Mary's empty tomb experience relate to us? In our brokenness, we should seek him. In our sorrow, we should seek him. He is the only one that can change your life. Number two, how does this relate to me? How does this in John 20 help me? How does it bring me hope? It brings us hope today because he conquered death, the payment for our sin, and the Father was satisfied. It brings us hope today because he lives. Question number three was this: what does his resurrection mean to me? It means that we can live also. It means that death is not the end, that he has paid the punishment for our sin, and he claimed the victory on that first Easter morning. Question number four: what does Jesus do in this passage for Mary? Gets personal. He called her by name. He gave her hope. He revived her broken heart. My question this morning on this Easter service is this: do you know him personally as your Lord and Savior? Has there been a time in your life where you acknowledged that you were a sinner and that his death on the cross and his shedding of blood was the payment for my sin and your sin? Question number two this morning would be this: if you know him, how actively are you seeking him? Early in the morning, she went to the tomb. Early in the morning, she went prepared. Early in the morning, she was there to serve Jesus Christ. Those of us that know him, those of us that have understood the matter of salvation, should we not identify with Mary of Magdala? Has he not changed our life? Has he not called our name? Has he not personally changed the direction of our life? Maybe you're here this morning at the request of a friend or a family member, and you're here this morning and you're uncertain about your soul salvation. If you were to die this morning in your sin, the punishment for sin is the lake of fire or hell. That's what the scripture teaches. The whole Easter story deals with the salvation of mankind. That we can believe in him, that we can trust on him, that we can ask him as our Savior. And then to the believer this morning, would you not say, Lord, I need to identify more with Mary of Magdala. God, I want a heart for you. God, I want a passion for you. God, I want you to help me have a passion for you in the days ahead. Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Are you seeking him? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the service. God, I thank you for those that are here this morning in this crowd on this Easter Sunday. And Lord, a simple thought here from John 20. And God, we see that Mary, her life was changed by her relationship with you. Lord, this morning, if there be one here this morning that doesn't know you as their Savior, they're uncertain that heaven is their eternal home, God, would you bring conviction to their heart? And Lord, believers, those that know you as their Lord and Savior, God, those that understand salvation, would you give them a renewed passion to seek after you? With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, would there be one here this morning that would raise their hand and be honest enough to say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure that heaven is my home. Would there be one honest enough to raise their hand this morning and say, you know what, Pastor, I'm uncertain about my soul's salvation? One? Anyone else? We pray that you'll have the courage here in this invitation to come. How about this morning, our believers? You'd say, you know what, Pastor, as I think of this emotion, I think about the character, I think about all that Mary went through. You know what, Pastor, I need to seek the Lord as Mary sought the Lord. Would there be believers this morning raise their hands and say, you know what, Pastor, that's me. I need to identify more with seeking Christ. Anyone this morning? Lord, we thank you for this day. Use this time. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet for a song of invitation? Hymn 379, as Miss Kim begins to play, as Brother Mike begins to sing. Oh, would you come?
The fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins.
Would you come, friend?
And sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains.
Let's just let Miss Kim play this last verse. As she plays, would you bow your head and pray for the Lord to continue to work? If you raised your hand and uncertain about salvation, if you'll come to the front, my wife can speak to you. I'll speak to you myself. We'll have someone explain the gospel to you. Would you have the courage to step out this morning and ask Jesus Christ into your heart to forgive you for your sin? Well, thank you so much for worshiping with us today. And I'll remind you, all of our folk, we don't have an evening service. I hope you have a wonderful afternoon with your family. We're going to pray and be dismissed, but the service technically doesn't end here. The Holy Spirit goes with you, and He can help you. He can bring guidance. If you raised your hand in that invitation time and you're uncertain of your salvation, I would love the privilege and opportunity here in just a few moments to explain the gospel. Explain exactly what happened at Calvary, what that empty tomb signifies to us today. Let's pray and be dismissed as we go our way. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Brother James Adams, do you care to lift your voice and dismiss us with prayer, please, sir? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.